Heavenly Father, we're gathered this morning in the name of Jesus. For you have said, ask what we should ask whatsoever we will in thy name, and you will give it. Thank you, Father, for the word we've heard this morning. Thank you for another glimpse of your love, your goodness, and your blessings upon our lives. Thy great salvation, something, Lord, that the angels in heaven desire to look into. And all the beings of heaven stand and watch as you save and redeem your church. And as you give yourself for her continually and minister to the needs there and bring her back to yourself. Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering this morning. We ask that you would minister to our hearts to feed and nourish our souls. We pray against any spirit of condemnation. Lord, we ask for freedom this morning in our hearts as we look into your word. For we know that it is God that justifies. And we thank you for the work you have done in our lives and bless our time together. Open our hearts as we look into your word and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, it's been a blessing to be here this morning. I've been encouraged and edified. Just even considering the love of God. That was one attribute that wasn't seen as clearly in the Old Testament, was it? It wasn't seen as clearly, I don't even believe in heaven, by the angels until God sent His Son. But for us who can look back to it and experience the realities of His love through Jesus Christ, it is beautiful. What a blessing. If you turn, you want to turn your Bibles to Psalm 23. We'll continue going through the Psalm here this morning. I believe I'm just going to read it here this morning. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 2 weeks ago, we're in verse 3, and we looked at the first part there. He restoreth my soul. And we considered Christ as the one who restores us. He is our restorer, we could say. Or He is in the restoration business, which we are very thankful for. For even though after we've experienced God's love and His mercy and His grace in our lives, there are times that we, like the sheep of old, unless we continually stay close to the Master, the true Shepherd, where we tend to stray from the right or the left, or our hearts become cold by the cares of this world, and we need restored. We consider different areas in our lives where God brings restoration and how He brings restoration to our lives. And it's interesting to me that immediately following this thought that Jehovah, my shepherd, or Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, restores my soul, brings me back and restores He restores me completely in those situations back to where I was. That immediately following that process, or David writes here that He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Is what we'll be looking at this morning. It is a blessing to me and a tremendous encouragement to know and also having experienced the restoration
power of Jesus Christ in our lives. And it can be originally when we're converted, but I tend to think that this psalm was written in the light of a sheep, someone who is a sheep. In other words, he has been converted, and this is the process or the experience of his life with the true shepherd. So, much to our embarrassment that it may be, there are times we need restoring. Matter of fact, if we're honest, we need it more frequently than not. Where we need, it's so easy for us, sometimes we view that in the Christian life somewhere there is room for coasting. But it's not that way, is it? If someone has painted the picture of a ball rolling uphill, it's like our Christian life is like the ball going uphill. As soon as you stop going forward, you immediately start going backwards. So there is no coasting in our Christian lives. There is a constant need of God's power in our lives. And whenever we're not tapped into that power, we're going backwards. We're losing ground, so to speak. So he not only restores us, but he desires to lead us in the paths of righteousness. As I considered this morning, there are a few thoughts we're going to draw from this phrase. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. We're going to look at four watchwords I'm going to use. As I considered it, there are many different ways to look at this phrase and this passage. And actually, one message doesn't cover it all in that sense. I'm going to do it here. But we're going to look at four watchwords. We're going to look at who, what, when, and where in that order. First, we're going to look at who. There's two people implied in this passage. He leadeth me. The first one is Christ in our situation, the Good Shepherd or Jehovah. And the second person is me. I like those two pronouns, the personal pronouns there. There's such a vast difference between the he and the me, isn't it, in this phrase? He, the one who possesses heaven and earth, who upholds all things by the word of his power. He who knows all things. He who has all wisdom, all knowledge, and all understanding. One word is in between, and then there comes me, who am less than nothing, who am a sinner by estate, by birth, because of Adam, who am a failure of myself, and who have done nothing in my own strength to bring him glory. The Father, or Jesus himself, has said, without me, you can do nothing. And so, we have such a vast difference. We have he, and over here we have me. But in the middle, we have a verb that is a blessing. He leadeth me. So the one with all the power, all the wisdom, and all the grace that we need, we have a promise from him, or a testimony here in this case from David, that he is leading me. In other words, those needs that I have, he is meeting with himself as he leads me. Who? Christ and me. The people that are implied, the two parties implied in this phrase. This would imply closeness. If you look at this, it implies closeness. And I can't help but consider Philippians 1:21, where Paul wrote, for me to live is Christ. And I believe that was a testimony here of David. It wasn't, his life is an example of one that there were times when there were closeness with the Lord, and he's the one that had that testimony of God, that he was a man after God's own heart that Dad shared this morning. But his life also has testimony of his need of restoration, and then also of his need of being led. And not, the interesting part here for us to consider is not that once a week we need to be led. Once a day we need to be led, or even once a year or anything like that. But you and I are constantly in need of being led by Jesus Christ. And that is part of our problem. That is why we need restoration at times. If we're not being led, not just day from day to day, once a day being led or experiencing his leadership in our life, but moment by moment as we walk with him and walk through this life, we are in need of being led by Jesus Christ. The closeness it would imply. I want you to consider this morning how a shepherd leads his sheep. In our society today, it's not quite the same. A lot of times they have the sheep farms and they use fences and so forth. But in the context that this was written, David himself being a shepherd, this was written in the context of a shepherd leading his sheep, spending all day with them, basically leading them for protection. His leadership meant protection for them. His leadership meant green pastures for them to eat in. The shepherd knew where the pastures were, and he led his sheep to them. He knew where the best water was, and he led the sheep to them. So the whole, as someone has said, you could tell looking at a herd of sheep how well their shepherd did just by looking at them. You could tell whether they had a good shepherd or they had a bad shepherd by just looking at the sheep and the condition that they were in. A lot depended on the shepherd. He protected them. He went before. If there was an enemy lurking, he led his sheep. And I love that so much. In most religions, there's no leadership in the religion. You think of most other religions, it's more of a driving force. Even in Islam, you do the five pillars of Islam, and then you might have an opportunity to go to heaven. But there's a whole driving force for you to do, and there's no leadership. There's not Muhammad going before, leading you in these paths of righteousness, but rather you are left, in some ways, there's no grace for you. You are left to find your own way. And if you look at most religions, it's that way. But as we look at Jesus Christ, He made the way for us, and He leads us in the way. What a blessing. It's interesting also, like I shared before, that we as God's people are likened to sheep. Because when sheep are left to their own without a shepherd, in these countries, in these conditions, they don't do very well. They get lost. They get ate up by the predators. They don't find good food or grass. Matter of fact, if they find grass, the way I understand it, they'll just stay there, and they'll even eat the roots. They'll just stay there until it's basically all gone. And then they'll try to wander around and look for some other grass. But there's not the instinct placed in the sheep that there is in some of the other animals where they can fend for themselves pretty well. So when they're left to themselves in the conditions that I'm speaking of, it doesn't usually turn out very well. Isn't it interesting that we're likened to that in this world? As we go through this world, we're likened to these sheep. If we're left to ourselves, you know, that's what has happened in the history of mankind. We've been left to ourselves. And when they have decided to take God out of our school, even in this country, we see what is happening when men are left to themselves. The choices they make aren't that good, usually. But it shows again the need they have, that we have as people, of leadership from God in all that we do and say. But there is a tendency within man to think, to be very independent and say, I don't need God. But the end of that man usually isn't very good. Another thing the shepherd knew as he led his sheep was he knew the way home. I don't know if you've thought of that much, but he knew the way home. That's encouraging to us. He knows the way to the pasture. He knows the way. He knew the way to the best watering holes. He knew the best paths across the mountain that were the least rocky. But he also knew the way home. In John 10, let's look at this passage here. We'll look at it here again. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. We'll read the first five verses here. This was all in the context just after the blind man was healed there in John chapter 9. And he went on to them and he shared this with him. In John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I'd like for you, each of you, to consider this morning, each of us are being led. Each of us have something or someone in our lives that is leading us or driving us. That is a fact, I believe. As we go through life, there's something that is driving you or else leading you in life. There are many things that could be it. It could be your work. It can be the cares of this life. It can be Satan himself, or it can be yourself. Yourself can be trying to lead your life or driving your life. You're saying, I don't need God, but you and yourself can be leading out in your life. But something or someone is leading you. I don't know if you've considered that much, but that is a fact. There's no neutral ground on this, but something is making and influencing your decisions in life as you go through life. The question I have for you this morning is, as we're looking at the who he leadeth me, as we're looking at who in this passage, who is leading you? Who is leading you? What is drawing you or leading you as you go through life? Is the world in its glamour? And when you picture this, picture a shepherd leading his flock, maybe through the wilderness or over a mountain, and you see this flock of sheep following the shepherd, and you see maybe at times there's a little patch of green grass off to the side, and the shepherd's going on to a place where there's enough grass for everyone, and you see the one or two sheep see this grass and they go over and start eating, but the shepherd goes on in his flock. And just the thought for you in your life this morning to consider is who is leading you? What is drawing you apart or away from following the shepherd at all the times in your life? Are you left to yourself? Another thought for you that is very... This is where a lot of people today fall into this category. They allow their circumstances to lead them. Many times we're guilty of that. We allow our circumstances to lead us. In other words, that is what we live by. If our circumstances are going well for the day, we're having a good day, and that's great. The next day, when our circumstances that we're living in, when we run into problems, we have some circumstances in our life that aren't well, we have a bad day. So we have this up and down. But for many people, the circumstances in life is what's leading them. But there are many voices that are calling us out to follow them as we go through life. It was interesting for me looking at the life of Christ. I didn't note exactly how many times and read in the words of Jesus Christ where there are those two words that says, follow me. He told the rich young ruler, sell all that you have and follow me. He told his disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But over and over he uses those two words. I don't know how many times through the Gospels. But his plea was with his disciples, and I believe it still is today, he's crying out, follow me, follow me. Simple. Sounds very simple, doesn't it? But in the midst of a world of chaos, a lot of other voices calling us, we are put in a position from day to day, moment to moment, where we're making the choice who we're following and who has the loudest voice in our lives. Who I am following, the same way that you could look at a herd of sheep and tell who their master was or how good their master was, the same is true for us. Who I am following will be told by the fruit that comes from my life. We can't hide that. Whoever I am following, you don't have to tell me who you're following. But as I watch and observe your life, and we watch and observe each other's lives, who we're following is told clearly by the fruit coming from our lives. Jesus, the good shepherd, he alone knows the way we should walk. And he alone knows the end from the beginning. What an encouragement. Our shepherd, he knows the end, he knows the beginning, and he knows all that we'll face in between. And he doesn't just send us down the path, but he leads us down the path. And if we're not close to him and his leading us, there's probably something that has our attention that has drawn us off to the side. And we need to come back to him. How blessed you are if you can say this morning that I know the voice of the good shepherd And you can say in these three words, and this is the testimony of your life, He leadeth me. Hallelujah. Is that the testimony written across your life? He, Jesus Christ, leads me in everything. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Hallelujah. The second thing we're going to consider here is what. Who, what, when and where, I think, or something. What? He leadeth me. Christ does not drive us into our Christian lives, in our Christian lives, but He leads us. There's quite a difference between these two. The goats, the way I understand, are usually driven, but sheep are led. Now this puts a lot of emphasis on us as Christ, the followers, as His disciples, or as His children. There is an accountability that comes into effect here, and that is, we must be listening to the voice of Jesus. Christianity has been, many times has been tried to be put into a form or a mold, where it is a certain amount, and many of us can relate to this, whereas there are certain standards that you and I can do, and then we'll be in good standing with Christ and following Him. But it is much more profound than that. The true Christian is left with basically evaluating, as it says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, He judges all things. We're left to consider all things and say, what is the voice of Christ telling me in this situation? How is He leading me in this particular situation? Or what is He telling me? We know what can happen from just being part of a church where you don't even have to listen to the voice of Jesus. All you do is listen to the voice of that church or those leaders, and that's all you do. It's one thing that's quite different than being left in the midst of this world that has a lot of voices calling us for us to hear the voice of Christ. But I can't emphasize that enough in our lives this morning, because whether or not we're listening to His voice, we're recognizing His voice, will determine where we end up as individuals or as our family, our children, where they will end up in 10 years from now, where we'll end up in 5 years from now, or 20 years from now. That will be determined by whether or not we listen to the voice of Jesus and we experience His leadership in our lives. There's a lot at stake if we don't. There's a lot at stake if we don't listen to His leadership and recognize His voice. And that was something in John 10 that we just read. He says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. It says, they will not follow Him. They won't follow a stranger, but they will follow me because they know my voice. So we are left with the privilege, I think, of finding the voice of Christ and finding His leadership in every area of our lives from day to day, from moment to moment. We're called to that life. So many times we want to run before or linger behind. As you picture the shepherd taking his sheep, you have some that want to run ahead. You have some that linger behind and get a few tufts of grass along the path. Where are you? Are you one of those? Are you one of those who likes to run before, linger behind, or are you content to follow Christ and His leadership as close behind Him as you can be as He leads us in the paths of righteousness? There are voices from this world, things that catch our eye, and we want to turn aside to examine it and are drawn into many hurtful lusts. The question I am asking myself this morning and have for you as well is, are you content to follow in the very footsteps of Christ? The picture is given, trying to think of where it's found, but the picture is given that He leads. There are times He pauses and stops and the sheep stop. And then He leads and they stop and they follow, and He stops and they stop. Another question for you this morning. Are you persuaded that Christ knows the best and has the best interest in your life as He's leading you, and that He's the best suited leader of your life. Are you persuaded of that this morning? Or is there something in your heart saying, I can do this myself? I mean, it's good that He's there in a pinch, but for a lot of times I can make the decisions in my life and there are times that I need Jesus. What is the attitude of your heart this morning? Sometimes we almost accuse Him of wrongness or dealing with us wrongly. And we say in our hearts, you know, why was that needed? There was a bump in the road or a rocky mountain for us to climb with His leadership. And we stop and say, why was that needed? We can't see. You and I don't understand why we had to go through those challenges. But we must trust that His leadership is the absolute best for us. And it's only in trusting Him that we can be find the peace, comfort, joy, and strength in our lives and go forward. Are you persuaded of that this morning? I leave that thought with you. We must be persuaded, or else we won't follow Him like we need to. We'll be looking here or there, left or right. We'll be lagging behind or running ahead. We won't be content to just look to Jesus, our shepherd, and follow Him. A question that comes up in this thought, how does He lead me? We might ask this morning. And the first thought I want to submit to you is by His own example. You ask me, how does He lead me? How does He lead us through this in the paths of righteousness? I would submit to you that it's by His own example, first of all. We can look, we can pick up the scriptures and look through the Gospels and see the life of Christ. What a blessing we have to have His life recorded and His relation to the Father and His relation to the world and to those challenges that He faced and everything. We have His example. That is one way that He leads us. And He leads us by His Word. He leads us from His Word. He ministers to it from the many passages as we read it from day to day. He leads us through His Word. Now, I'm not speaking this morning of many times I've become aware of people looking for, how can I say, a supernatural experience. And I'm not totally against that. I believe there are those in the Christian life. But I want to encourage you this morning that I believe the Christian life is very practical. And I believe it's a blessed, fruitful life. Don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying it. But I think many times what happens with people looking for a supernatural experience, especially in the light of Christ's leadership, they'll be waiting and they'll be meandering around. And then they'll have an experience. And then they live off of that experience for a long time. And then they'll have another experience. But that is not what we've been called to. I believe we've been called to a life daily and momentarily lived out in the conscious awareness of Christ's presence. Not the supernatural feelings that, you know, that overwhelm us and compel us to do something. And then we live off of that experience for a couple years until we have another experience. But rather, Romans 8 tells us that we're either walking in the flesh or in the spirit. And I believe that can be, it's very practical as we look at the life of Christ, as we look into His Word, and as we, even through our brothers and sisters at times, Christ leads us through a voice of some, a brother or a sister, just sharing their heart. Sometimes He gives them instruction for us. And He'll lead us that way. And that's probably the hardest to receive. But He leads us through the Holy Spirit. As we are conscious of His presence in our life, and where our hearts and our ears are tuned into His voice, then He'll lead us by the Holy Spirit from His Word. But it's not necessarily an overwhelming, supernatural, overpowering experience. But it is from day to day, you meet an obstacle in your life where you are faced with a decision and you, in your heart, you pause and ask God, give me wisdom and lead me in this situation. And I believe it is in those times He can bring a scripture verse to our mind, or He'll give us grace to make the right decision. There are many ways that He leads us. But the encouraging part is, and all that, again, is that He leads us. Isn't that something? Is that an interesting thought? He doesn't put us out here and say, I'm right behind you. You know how some people will say, you go ahead, I'm right behind you. That's not the way it is with Christ. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Hallelujah. The third point we want to look at is when. When does He lead us? It's interesting to me. Leadeth, and there in the verb tense, would continuity. When does he lead me? When does he desire to lead you? Is it, like I said earlier, once a day, once a week when you come to church, or once a month or once a year? When does he desire to lead you? When did David's testimony say here that he leads me? The what is implied there is constant. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He is constantly, moment by moment, leading me as I submit to his leadership. Is there ever a time when Christ does not desire to lead you? Is there ever a decision in your life that you're faced with when he doesn't desire to lead you through that decision? I mean financially, everything that we're faced with. You know, it's very challenging because we come into circumstances in life and we're plunged into the circumstance. And I experienced some of that this week. It's so easy for us to take our eyes completely off of Christ and look at the circumstance and say, there can't be any good thing in here. But the Word of God says that, the Word of God says in Romans 8 that, I can't even find the words. Somebody help me. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Does that mean everything? Does that mean every little detail in your life? What does all things mean? I'll leave that to you. But he desires to lead you in every decision in your life. The challenge we're left with is many times we don't include him, do we? We make the decision and we go on and we reap the results. How blessed we are. I believe that is one of the major... As I consider, this was one of the greatest things we learn in Christian growth, that we grow in, and that is how to, as we learn how to walk and follow the leadership of Christ in every area of our lives. If His way is not clear before us, we should wait until He leads. Ezekiel 1, Chapter 1, verse 20. I thought of this. I just read it not too long ago. And let's look at this passage. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 20. It was interesting for me again to consider this. This was it's called a theophany by the theologians. It means it was a revelation of God to Ezekiel. What he saw here were some very interesting things. We see this passage of scripture full of things, words like the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto. He was in that state where he was beyond words of describing this, what he had saw here. And I believe, as someone has said, this was God's chariot that he saw. But what was interesting to me in Ezekiel 1:20, let's just read it here. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. The picture I guess I want to bring out here is that whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. I mean, I picture it. They move like lightning. I picture it. The Spirit wanted to move here. They move. They move. They just, wherever the Spirit of God wanted them to go, they went. It's interesting thing, because this, it says the reason it was this way, because these wheels and these creatures and all this amazing contraption, or whatever you want to call it, God's chariot, this whole amazing thing was filled with the Spirit of God. Whithersoever the Spirit was wont to go, they went. There was no question to ask, but it was called instant obedience. Thought that was interesting to consider in the light of this. It says, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. It kind of gives the picture that when they went, it went. When it stopped, they stopped. And it was just instant obedience. But the reason was that creature, those creatures and those wheels were filled with the Spirit. How much more in our lives, as we are filled with the Spirit of Christ and walking in that reality, walking after the Spirit from day to day, moment to moment, will that be that'll be the testimony of our lives. It's interesting for me to consider. I'd heard the story about two men that were, one was a minister of the gospel here in the States. This was years ago. But it was interesting to me because it was the first sailing of the Titanic. And these men had been on tour through the Mideast, been to Palestine, and then they ended up in Britain. And they were looking for passage to come back to the States. And they actually applied. They applied and got tickets on the Titanic. And I think it was a couple of days later, someone came to him and wanted him to have some preaching meetings in Scotland. And they said, well, we've already booked passage. And the guy he just asked him a couple of times and they said, okay, we'll come. So they went up to Scotland and had, I don't know if it was a week of meetings or how long it was, and they booked passage on another ship. And it was after they were in Scotland, they saw the news. The Titanic had sunk. They had booked passage on that ship. But we see the practical ways that God will lead us as individuals. If they would have, they were left with a choice. If they would have insinuated or been very forceful on the fact that they want to be on the Titanic for the first voyage, and they're not going to come for the meetings, they need to get back home. There's just any number of excuses. But they were obedient to that heavenly calling, and they were spared their life. I had to think also of God leading the children of Israel through the wilderness every day. You helped me here. I didn't look this up. But if I remember right, when they made camp, the tabernacle was there. The tribes were camped around the tabernacle. And then the cloud of God would settle upon the tabernacle, right? And so there were times when the cloud would lift and the people would pack their tents to move. I believe that is how God led them. Some days it would lift. I think even, if I don't remember right, were there even sometimes through the night the cloud would lift, they were to pack everything and follow. And that's an interesting example. We think, wow, well, they could get out of their tent, they could look over and see the cloud. But I believe we can see the shepherd that's wanting to lead us by faith if we only look to him. But they followed it, didn't they? When the cloud was there, there was one time they didn't. When the spies came back from the land of Canaan and God rebuked them, and some men said, we'll just go anyhow. And God said, don't go. They went and they were destroyed. The one who is constantly looking to the leadership of Christ and following the closest to him will bring Christ the most glory. The last question to consider is where. We looked at who. He is what? He's leading us. When? Constantly wanting to lead us. Where? In the paths of righteousness. Christ, our shepherd, always leads in the right paths, which could literally be translated. The paths of righteousness could be the right paths. There's a little word in this passage that really blessed me as well, and I want to bring it out to you. It's that little word in. I was meditating on this week some, as I knew I would be sharing, but I kept thinking sometimes that he leadeth me into the paths of righteousness. But he doesn't just lead us into the paths of righteousness. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. What a blessing. He doesn't lead us to them and then we are left to find our way the rest of the way. But he leads us to them, but he leads us in them as we go through these paths. And we're faced with the choices in our life. We cannot see the end from the beginning. Therefore, it looks at times like we've been led down a dead-end trail. Let's not lose heart. We need to trust the Good Shepherd. We need to be fully persuaded in our hearts that his best interest is for us. And through these trials, he only desires to draw us closer to himself. And to lead us on. Sometimes the paths of righteousness will lead us to a cross. Here again we have his example, don't we? We have the example of Jesus Christ as he followed the Father and was led, I believe. Scripture would tell us he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Who was leading him? Do you ever think of that? In Isaiah 53, it says he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Who was leading Christ? We hear a big debate sometimes, who crucified Jesus? Was it the Romans or the Jews, or who was it? That passage tells us he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Proverbs 3, let's turn there and look at a few passages, a few verses. These verses have been so encouraging to me in the past and also to my wife, I know. And I thought of them. Did you share them, Christopher, 2 weeks ago when you shared your courtship testimony? I don't remember, but I had to think of that. Many times we don't see His leading in our lives, but then after something is done in our lives, we look back and we can see His leadership so clearly and so beautifully. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There's an encouragement there in Proverbs for us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to acknowledge Him in all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths as our hearts are turned to Him. A few other passages here. Let's go back to Psalms 37. This kind of tells us the same thing. You know, there's a choice in the believing, and especially for each of us in our lives, but especially as young people, I encourage you to take those promises and choose to believe them. Psalm 37, starting in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Sometimes it looks like others who haven't surrendered themselves completely, and you don't see their testimony as clearly for Jesus Christ. You see them going on in life, or you see them experiencing what looks like blessings. And it's not that you wish them harm, but sometimes this verse is implying it is challenged. Fret not thyself, but rest in the Lord and wait patiently upon Him. Hallelujah. Psalm 17, verse 5. I'll just read some of these to you. In the light of, it says, this is a prayer. There's two of them here I thought were a blessing. I believe David prayed these. Yes. Psalm 17, verse 5. Verse 4, let's start. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. There are many paths. There are the paths of righteousness, but there are many other paths in life. And that is why it is important that we have the leadership of Jesus Christ vitally in effect in our lives, leading us through the path. Because there are many paths, many T's, many crossroads you'll face as we go through life. And then David prayed, he prayed this prayer in verse 5 of Psalm 17. Hold up my goings in thy paths. First of all, he says, verse 4, he says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. And then he cries out to the Lord. He says, hold up my goings in thy paths. He says, I don't want to walk in the paths of the destroyer. I want to walk in thy paths, O Lord, that my footsteps slip not. Hallelujah. Again, in Psalm 25, verse 4, he says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. This is somewhat of a different concept to us, but having been to Africa, you'll find someone and you ask them for their testimony, and they'll say, you know, I went from walking in the path of Satan in sin and serving my forefathers. I went from walking in that path, and now I'm walking in the path of Jesus Christ. That is how that's their testimony. It's not, I was born again or something like that. That is really what happened in their lives. But they said, I made a choice. I was following these paths and I was walking in the paths of sin. And the day came when I burned all my idols. And I said, I will now follow the path of Jesus Christ. So it's a little more explicit to them. It's in their culture a little more. It's more real in that respect. Psalm 25:10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. have one more here to read. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. And the pastures are clothed with flocks, and the valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. So where does he lead us? He leads us in his paths of righteousness. Jeremiah 23, let's turn to that yet. This was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Christ will lead us in the paths of righteousness. The paths of righteousness will lead us to Christ. Interesting thought. He is the righteousness of God. Jeremiah 23 verse 5 says, this is a prophecy of Christ. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. He's still called that today. That is what he is to us, isn't he? He is the Lord. He is our righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, but of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is our righteousness. As we follow the shepherd, he'll lead us to himself, doesn't he? Because in him is all the fullness of God. And we are complete in him. He is the one who makes us complete before the Father. Few verses there. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. Hallelujah. He is our righteousness. In closing yet, let's turn to John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I'll leave that thought with you. My sheep know my voice, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That is the sign of being a true sheep or a true child of God, is that we have this written across our life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He is leading me constantly in the paths of righteousness. One other thought to leave with you is, in Revelations, we see a picture in heaven, and it speaks to us of those 144,000 or whatever, but it says they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So even in heaven, he's leading his people. Hallelujah. Thou shepherd of Israel in mine, thou shepherd of Israel in mine, the joy and desire of my heart, for closer communion I pine, I long to reside where thou art. The pasture I languish to find, where all who their shepherd obey, are fed on thy bosom reclined, are fed on thy bosom reclined, and screened from the heat of the day. 'Tis there with the lambs of thy flock, there only I covet to rest, to lie at the foot of the rock, or rise to be hid in thy breast. 'Tis there I would always abide, and never a moment depart, concealed in the cleft of thy side, eternally held in thy heart. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you for this time, Lord, we've had together. Thank you for your word once again. We ask that you, Lord Jesus, would lead us and direct us in the paths of righteousness. For thy name's sake, Lord. Give us hearts that love you, desire to serve you, hearts that are deeply in pursuit of thee and thy glory. Father, lead us on. Be our shepherd and direct us, our feet in the paths of falling, and keep them from stumbling. Direct our feet in the paths of righteousness and keep them from falling, Father, for thy glory. Pray this for each of my brothers and sisters, each one who's here today, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.